B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, we started with the question, do you even want baseball back? Never mind the owner's latest proposal, and do they even want a deal, or are they just trying to break the union? Never mind Max Scherzer's comments. We see no reason. We see no reason to engage the MLB in any further compensation reductions, Scherzer says. We previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. So we can talk about that, but we just decided to step back and say, do you even want them to come back? Who's right? Who's wrong? How about this? Do you even want them back at all? So never mind who's right or who's wrong. You don't care who's right or who's wrong.
Right.
You don't even want the sport back.
It's exactly what it is they don't care who's right or who's wrong. They're tired of it.
So that's the question we're starting with. We'll get to some other things, but I do want to mind this topic because you're all lined up on it. Here's Ed in Kingston on Blake Snell and his comments from a couple weeks ago. Go ahead, Ed.
Going on, guys. I'll do my best not to curse, but get the button ready. Blake Snell is a big fat B word, a sorry sack of S. That dude needs to be on unemployment. Get him in the breadline. Give him his Trump bucks. I never want to hear that dude's name again. That guy is a piece of garbage. And I love baseball, but I don't care if it comes back. Give me hockey all day.
Okay.
Almost had it. Couldn't quite do it.
You know, the thing. And take it from someone who knows, who's used plenty of bad tone in his day. It's really Snell's tone. I mean, because the player's negotiating stance, I don't even think is that outrageous. I mean, I don't agree with it. I think the players should be willing to take a little bit more than they've already agreed to in terms of a pay cut. But what, you know...
It's the arrogance behind it.
Exactly.
It is, totally.
What they're saying has some merit and some basis. But to come out and say, I don't care, I'm getting mine. You know, the complete tone-deaf obstinance, I mean, the world they must live in, to feel comfortable expressing it in that way, to me, says all you need to know about where the Players Association is. It's just gone way too far.
I mean, in this time and what we're all collectively dealing with, whether you work at Shaw's or you're an overpaid baseball pitcher, no one should say out loud, I got to get mine.
It's
like the worst possible thing you could say.
So right, Murray. And again, it's not enough for them to argue their point. They have to spit in someone's face in the process. And this is to me, is at the core of everything. And that David Price comment that you called for a little while ago, Mike, that cut that we have. I don't care. I'm taking my time. It is F you. That everything they say whenever they're criticized is F you. We're not changing. And it's really, it just gotten tired.
I mean, the spitting thing. I agree. It's an unreasonable ask. It's kind of silly. But for Charlie Blackman to say, wait, what? I'm 100% going to spit. It's just so arrogant. It's so, what's the word you just used? It's just so obstinate. It's so obstructionist. Like, is there any understanding, Charlie, why in these times with a pandemic that is spread through saliva that they wouldn't want you to spit? Can you at least give a nod to that reality and say and you know, structure your comments appropriately, as in, we understand the current conditions. However,
exactly,
it's going to be hard because we've been doing this all our lives, and that's a difficult ask like that. But no, the baseball player doesn't say that. The baseball player says, F you, I'm 100% going to spit.
Yeah, you got to bend to me. I mean, that's what it is. You have to bend to me. Screw you. This is the way I do it, so you're going to have to live with that. As opposed to saying, yeah, I saw that one. You know, that's going to be tricky for someone like me, man. I spit a lot. I do. So I got to work on that. I know what they're saying. I think we're all worried about the disease spreading and stuff like that. But for me, it's part of my daily habit. Like, you know, Hunter Pence, you ever watch him get into the box? He's constantly touching his junk. I mean, he does it all the time. Like, crack a joke about it. Like, you know, show me that you understand that there's another point of view and that you have some level of self-awareness.
They don't.
These guys have none. Zero. Zip.
Matt and Nate, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, so I had this topic conversation with my buddies a couple weeks ago, and I wanted baseball dead. I said it then. I was like, all right, I'm done. And, you know, maybe this is just because it's the only sport where you can get a 15-year, $500 million contract. They're entitled. But the other thing I thought of is 1920. It was the beginning of the live ball era. 1920, pandemic was a couple years before. Pandemic changed baseball to the live ball era. Maybe that's what it's doing now. I don't know. I'll leave it at you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
That's interesting. I don't know. Whatever it takes. And it's not just, you know, the previous caller that you blame the analytics and the owners as well for the pace of play and everything. It's true. The whole sport needs a reset. The whole sport needs something to wake it up. Wake it up and, you know, reset the whole thing. And I if this takes it, then, you know, I mean, if this is what it takes, then this is what it takes, Mez.
I mean, Mike, so look, the overall arrogance that you're talking about from the players, it does reflect an overall attitude from the sport. And again, I'm not trying to extrapolate things into historical discussions or what have you, but think about it. Every other sport, basketball, instituted dramatic changes in the game on the field. The shot clock, the three-point line, you know, like, and even now, still, they're constantly making tweaks to the game. Constantly, football has made tweaks to the game. The game's not played the same way now as it was 30 years ago. And, I mean, the rules have changed, and hockey has changed, the trapezoid behind the net, the center line, and then the not center, like, all of it. Baseball doesn't do any of that, ever. They're still playing by the same rules they've played for 120 years, which is asinine. And I also think this contributes to the data problem, because what that does is it builds up 120 years of data that you can go by, whereas if you change the rules, the data changes, and it's harder to have the analytics take over the sport because you're constantly changing the rules, and now you need a new set of data. It's like the game is so stuck in its ways, it will never change. It's so annoying.
Here's Tom in Quincy. He's a huge baseball guy. I ask you, Tom, do you want baseball back?
I do, but I will
Tom,
say
be honest. Be honest, Tom.
I'm honest. I do... But I'm disgusted by the behavior of everyone involved. And it's pretty hard, because I know I'm kind of like a rare breed out here nowadays as far as baseball first. And I think me and Alan McCullough from Florida a while ago, I think me and him about it.
That's it.
And honest to God. But seriously, I mean, this is the thing. All this stuff that's built up in baseball over the past few years, and it's the first time I've had to follow up after a dead ball era call. Not even on Maz's show. I've never done that. But seriously. But listen, all these things, the things that are wrong with baseball, that hit, like we've said before, all brought on by analytics. So if you start scaling back the analytics end of what people actually look at and how you figure out how good a person is, they got rid of the eye test. They go strictly by the nerds, and they effed everything up. So, yes, I do want baseball back, but I would totally understand if this is the time to do it and make the change, do it. Take the time now and do it. But if you're going to do it right. Because if you take this year off and you come back and there's no changes made and it's the same sucky five-hour game between the Marlins and the friggin' Diamondbacks, never mind a Sox-Yankees game. So if you're going to get rid of the season, you're going to S-can it. Do the changes, make the right moves, and fine, I'll be okay with it.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I want it back, too, because I'm a content whore, and I'm a sports dork, and so I want it back. But the game needs a major reset, and if this is what it takes, then this is what it takes. To me, Maz, I really feel like what it's going to take is a genuine economic downturn in the game. In other words,
of course,
this is sort of an outside force where they can say, well, our game's great. Our game is really healthy. It's just, you know, we got hit by an asteroid. What I really need is ratings, attendance, things to go down naturally, organically, so they can look at their game and say, oh, people don't like the product anymore. That's what we really need.
Well, so, Mike, I think some of that, this is where I think the owners are a little more in touch than the players are, because attendance has gone down the last
couple
of years.
It has.
And so they are, you know, now the result, the numbers that they're giving us, I think, have been minimized. So they're saying, oh, attendance went down, you know, 3%. Well, the real number is probably closer to 10. Okay, so again, because there are tickets sold that people don't show up to the ballpark or what have you. So I think the owners recognize some of it, and I think it's part of the reason they're picking the fight. So whereas the players don't. And look, just quickly, because I think it came out wrong. When I said to Tom and Quincy, be honest, I don't think someone should be ashamed to say they want the game back.
Right.
I want the game back, too. I just want it back better than what it is. Because right now it sucks. And I've been saying this for a long time. And so when push comes to shove, if they come back on the field, am I going to be happy? Well, yeah, of course I'm going to be happy. I like the sport. I've always liked the sport. But at the same time, do I think the sport can be better? Tenfold, maybe a hundredfold. And if a crisis in the short term, in the elimination of a season, brings back a better product, I'm for it.
And maybe it'll be a long-term thing, but to me, a significant thing, Maz, is those other sports coming back. And if there's the NHL and the NBA in July, August, into September, and people not only don't miss baseball, but like it's even accentuated by the fact that, I mean, I really don't care that this sport's not back, and those other sports being back really drives it home. Maybe there's a longer picture, you know, a bigger picture thing and a longer term sort of effect on the game. It'll take a while for it to get there, but it needs something. They need to, I mean, don't they get that it used to be the national pastime, the national sport, and really wasn't that long ago? You know, maybe.
Yeah, they get it. They still think it is.
15, 20 years ago?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's in that window. 15 to 20 years is right, because the Maguire-Sosa thing was basically 20 years ago, and people were captivated.
And it was still, I mean, you had games, I mean, it was even, I don't know, I want to say 5-10 years ago, you had national games on ESPN 3-4 times a night. You had, you know, and those games did something, and the, you know, the shows meant, what was the, I can't remember the name of it now, Baseball Tonight? What was the?
Yeah, ESPN? Baseball yeah. Tonight.
Baseball Tonight was, people used to consume that, and that used to be a huge driver.
Big numbers.
Now, on ESPN, baseball is just a half notch above hockey when it comes to their coverage. You go days, show after show after show, where it is, you see as much of Mark Teixeira as you see of Barry Melrose. It is a regional afterthought. And that to me feels like it's kind of overnight. That's not a 20-year thing. That's like within the last five. Do they understand that?
Yeah, I don't think they do. I mean, the players certainly don't. They want to sit there and say, well, there are no problems in the game. I think the owners do, because I think they, you know, again, they tend to be a little bit more long-term thinkers. We see more Barry Melrose than Carl Ravitch.
I was going to say, remember him? I mean, it's the same. It's like it gets treated the same, just about. Baseball a little bit more, but it's treated more like hockey than it is like basketball and football. I mean, and that is, do they get it?
Yeah, Mike, maybe this is why, and again, because I wonder whether the owners are picking this fight, and maybe this is why the owners are picking it, because they know if they end up on the same landscape this summer with the hockey playoffs and the basketball playoffs, with football waiting just behind, and nobody can go to the ballpark, which is one of the appeals, really, of baseball in the months of July and August anyway, was right. Go out there, nice warm summer night, have yourself a couple of beers, a hot dog, you know, all good. You just chill out and sit in the nice warm weather. Uh-uh, not this year. Not going to happen. You're going to watch sports. It's going to happen on TV. Is anyone going to watch it?
Okay, speaking of hockey, I did have a couple quick follow-up thoughts on Cam Neely and the Bruins and the new NHL format. We'll continue this conversation all day long about, do you even want baseball back? Latest poll results, Maz, do you have it up?
Yep, I can get it for you in 1 second. Just keep talking. Give me 10 seconds.
Is there a reason why we just don't have it up like 24/7?
I do. I just have to click on a different tab. We now have over 5,300 votes. 59.2% of the respondents say they do not want baseball to come back and play in 2020.
Murray's goal is to get that to 60.
Yep, he wants getting
that,
close.
He wants that first number to be a 6.
He's like a lobbyist.
The trend is going in that direction. We continue that conversation all day long. Follow up on Neely right after this.
Dugger Fast. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, obviously a little disappointed with what the team was able to accomplish the first 70 games, and then the kind of the point spread that we had between not only the teams in the league, but the teams in our division or conference. So, you know, to kind of maybe have 3 games dictate where we fall in the conference standings is somewhat disappointing. But, you know, the fact remains these are uncharted times for everybody, and we're just hoping we can eventually get back on the ice and play meaningful hockey games.
All right, here's your Bruins Cam Neely follow. Is he whining? Is he whining? He says a little disappointing there. The quote broken out here, the front page of the Globe Sports section. It's a little frustrating based on what the team accomplished in the first 70 games. We could go from first overall in the league to fourth in the conference once the playoffs start. Again, that was another one of Cam Neely's comments. Bruce Cassidy spoke to The Athletic and Joel McDonald. Cassidy gave him a quote that said, "It seems pretty disingenuous to me. You're awarded the President's Trophy, and now you're the fourth seed? It just seems a little off," says Bruce Cassidy. Are they whining?
Yes. I mean, a little bit. They're not Blake Snell whining, but they're whining. And so, and here's why I would say yes, because it's still in their control. So, you know, to me, the right way to approach this is, hey, guys, look, you know, we feel our regular season speaks for itself. But, you know, this is an unusual time. And as long as we come back and we, you know, play the way we've played all year, we'll still be a top seed and we'll be fine. And then we're just going to have to play the playoffs like everybody else. That was going to be true no matter what. So, I, you know, had they included that other part, I think it would have been a more accurate representation of what is really going on. It's still in their control, Mike. As long as they don't suck in the play-in round, and again, if there's no home ice, what difference does it make if they're first or third? All that's going to matter is that four seed. Just stay out of the four spot, and you'll avoid Pittsburgh.
So I'm going to give them one day to have one comment to just state their case. They're entitled to that. And it's not like, again, you're right, it's not Blake Snell. It was just, you know, pretty disingenuous, said Cassidy. A little disappointing, said Neely. At another point, a little frustrating. Okay, I'll give you that. I don't want to hear another word. I don't want to hear another word. I don't want it to be like a backdrop. The fact that, you know,
it can't be a continued excuse, especially if they got knocked out early. I mean,
please.
They're right to be mad initially, because it does feel like, wow, we were so ahead of these other teams in terms of the points. This may feel a little bit unfair. So I'm with you. You know, a day or so, you
a
get to bitch
bit,
about it.
A skosh, a little tiny hair, a little puck hair.
But don't make it a thing.
Don't make it a thing. Thank you. Sorry, Murray.
No, it's just this shouldn't be some sort of like albatross on the team. Like, oh, we got hosed. Like, because it's a bad attitude to go into this with. Just, you know, I think that collectively, okay, be mad about it, but collectively, they and the rest of the league, be happy you're back.
Okay, and for the most part, that's what they said. You know, for, you know, 90% of their comments were that. I mean, they weren't belly aching all day about it. You know, Cassidy, quote, "Our guys will be ready to go whatever the situation is because they have to be. There's no complaining, no second opinions on this or that. You've got to be ready to go, ready to play. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's never easy, so let's go. That's it." Okay, so that's most of what they said.
Right.
But they all allowed themselves at least one little quote there that you could break out and, you know, it makes it look like, again, the front page of the Globe here, big picture of Cam. And this is a file photo. Did you see him yesterday on that Zoom call?
Looked grizzled.
Ooh, the fella needs a needs a clip. I loan him my clippers on that beard. Ooh, he looks rough.
Don't we all?
Oh, my God. He is. Neely from the apocalypse is bunker. But anyway, so like, you know, the big picture of Neely here, front page of the sports section. It's a little frustrating based on what the team accomplished in the first 70 games. We could go from first in the league to fourth in the conference once the playoffs start. Like, I'll give you that, but no more. You know, anything more than that, you're whining.
Yes, and so, yes. But my question to Neely then is, and look, I get it. Okay, I get it. Like I said, he's not Blake Snell. But what's the cost? There's no home ice either way.
Right.
It doesn't exist. There is no home ice.
It's last change. I mean, are they looking to hang another Adams Division banner? Like, does it really matter to you? Right. Like, what? It doesn't matter. If you drop to the four seed and have to face Pittsburgh in the first round, then you porked yourself and that, you know, but that's your doing. Don't go 0-3 in that little round robin. That's
exactly.
As Maz said, that's within your control. And you can still beat Pittsburgh too, by the way. So I'm going to play some other sound because this happened a little later in our program yesterday. And you know me, I need to see it in print. before I can react to it. Number two, he was asked, what did he want to see? Or, you know, the follow-up on the format, was the one that he preferred, or just a follow-up thought on the format?
I was involved with some discussions with the league on the format, listening to what some of the options were. I expressed my feelings about where I was headed, but, for the good of the game, this is what they thought was best. I know they talked about some competitive games while the play-in rounds were going, but, from my perspective, I felt that the players would be amped up and ready to go, regardless if they were round-robin games or games to get ready for the playoffs, knowing that other teams were playing competitive games.
Okay, so again, the issue was he doesn't think those round-robin games should be binding, that those should be exhibitions. He was okay with the 24 teams. We have a little round-robin among the bye teams to get fresh, but don't make them count, was his feel. Which, again, it's not totally unreasonable. Just don't spend too much time on that. I don't want to hear that again after today. I don't want to hear it again. There was one comment that he had that I really like, and I'm sort of coming around on the whole asterisk thing. You know how I feel about this. I don't think these deserve asterisks, especially if the best teams come through. If the Bruins or the Blues or the Penguins or the Capitals or a real team that's been one of the best teams in the NHL the last several years breaks through and wins a Stanley Cup, how could you say there was an asterisk? They've been one of the best teams in the league, or those ones I just mentioned, or the Lightning, for the last 3, 4, 5 years. So there's no asterisk there. If the Bucks or the Lakers or the Clippers, a team like that, wins the NBA title, there's no those guys proved it over, 60-plus regular season games over a couple of years, even if you want. And so no asterisk. But not only that, so Neely's asked about the whole asterisk business, number five, Jimmy.
Well, if it's in a good way, I don't see why it would be in a bad way. We've had shortened seasons, whether it's lockouts or strikes, and had Stanley Cup champions, and I don't recall seeing asterisks beside those years. So I don't see why this is any different. The playoff format has changed in the history of the NHL. The number of games per round has changed, so... I still think if you're going to have to play four rounds and beat those teams, I don't see why there needs to be an asterisk beside the Stanley Cup champion.
Okay, so the first thing I want to mention is just his read on the history is so right. I mean, I went on this rant last week. It's like the NHL used to be 16 of 21 teams made the playoffs, and the first round was best of five. So, I mean, how do you think, was that fair to the President's Trophy winner who went 80 right. games or 82 games and blew the league away? And then they let in the 16th seed out of 21. You face that team, essentially, in the first round in a best of five where a hot goalie can really bounce you. Was that fair? And that's the way the league was when Neely came into it in the 80s. So hockey's always had too many playoff teams. They've always had a goofy playoff structure. There's no asterisk in strike years or shortened years or goofy years where 16 of 21 make it, or you beat an expansion team in the finals, which happened for 3 straight years in the late 60s. So, like, no. But the whole thing about, I'll go one step further. The team that comes back and shows the fortitude and the toughness to come back and after 4 or 5 months off of skates to rededicate themselves, quarantine themselves, take themselves away from their family, take 60 days in a neutral site location and grind out a Stanley Cup. Not only should you not take anything away from them, maybe you should even give them a little bit extra credit, like a good asterisk, as he said, Maz. I thought that was a good point by him.
Yeah, no, it is a good point because, again, it's what it's going to take. And, in fact, really, it's going to take that pretty much from every team if they're able to play through the playoffs. Because we all know that at some point it's happening to everybody. I just got to get out. I got to get out. I got to walk around. I got to do something. And so, and in that context, you're asking for a real level of intensity there and focus for a long period of time, which is impossible to do, and hats off to the team that can pull it off. It's a fair point.
Okay, back to your calls after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, once we get back up and running training camp. I know, you know, we've got a group of guys that are very dedicated and committed, and, you know, obviously know where the team was at the pause and what the possibilities were going into the playoffs. Nothing's a guarantee, as we all know, but I think our guys recognize that we had a legitimate chance to, you know, do well and have a deep run in the playoffs. Obviously, our goal all along is to win Stanley Cup, so, you know, that goal is not going to change. You know, I think our, from what I understand and talking to some of the guys, they're anxious and excited. Obviously, they still have some questions and concerns about how this is all going to play out, but everybody still wants to play hockey.
A little more Neely from yesterday. Main question of the day, do you even want baseball back? We can mix in some Bruins calls with that. Here's Bob in Connecticut on the first thing. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Felga, I never called before, but you got me so damn worked up about this baseball pace of play that I just had to call.
Okay.
First of all, I want you to know, I'm 84 years old, and I'm one of those guys that falls asleep in a chair watching the game halfway through the game. But believe me, it's not because of my age so much. It's because these guys play the game in slow motion.
God
bless
you.
And I just can't take it.
Go ahead. No, I mean, it is. I hate it when people say, and I feel like I don't get this as much as I used to, that when I complain about a 3.5-hour baseball game, well, you must not like baseball. Well, you just don't like baseball. No. That's a cop-out. You know, I grew up loving baseball. And I still like baseball very much. But when I went to, in 1982, when I went to the Milwaukee Brewers ALCS, the game took 2 hours and 43 minutes. Now you turn on a playoff baseball game, it takes 4 hours and 25 minutes.
It's a completely different product. I mean, we've been forced to watch old sports here over the last 3 months, which I've done. And I watched, there was one game that I found so compelling. I remember watching it as a kid, and it was the Kirk Gibson Dodgers World Series game against the A's. That ninth inning, in real time, I still was like on pins and needles. And so it was amazing. But it's like watching a different sport the way that it moves.
It is a different sport, Murray. It's not the same.
The game changed.
It's not the same. Yeah, the game's totally changed. And again, I can't emphasize this part enough. There's no creativity in it. None. They're just, you line up, you try to hit it off the wall or over it. That's it. That's the whole game now. Huh. The pitcher takes 40 seconds to throw it. You run the count to 6 or 7 pitches. And then when it gets to 3-2, you try to jack it over the wall and you strike out, you walk, or you hit a home run. And that's it.
And now it's just
blows. The product blows.
Yeah. Everything's just like, oh, come on, move along. Can we go? Put the ball in play.
Mike and Woburn on the NHL playoff format. Hi, Mike.
Mike, you're missing the biggest advantage. First of all, I disagree with you on the asterisk. And second of all, you're missing the biggest advantage that the Bruins are getting screwed out of, which is there's a bracket. So the one seed, which the Bruins were supposed to be, wouldn't have to play Tampa or Washington until the final, the conference final. So those two would have a meat grinder type grudge match in the semis, probably, because I'm assuming Washington and Tampa would beat whoever they faced in the first round after the Fugazi prelims that they're running.
Wait, so but Mike, hold on. Okay, so first of all, they haven't determined whether they're going to reseed or not. That's still open. Secondly,
no, Mike, but I'm talking, even if they don't reseed, Washington and Tampa would have been in the other bracket, so the Bruins would have only faced one of them, and it only would have been in the conference final.
Mike, without the pandemic, you're facing Tampa in the second round. What are you talking about?
Yes, Mike. You're facing Tampa in the second round, but we had the pandemic. So now you basically, you're dismissing the results of the regular season entirely. You would have faced Tampa in the second round with Steven Stamkos, who, Mike, if you remember, had an abdominal injury. He might not have been back.
Yeah, no, he was out.
Round.
He was out.
Yes. Okay. So they lose that advantage too. There's another thing. If you want to put a big asterisk next to a team if they win, it's Tampa, because unlike any of those lockouts that you mentioned before, there was no 3 months stoppage at the end of the season where every team got to rest and repair. The teams that were battered and beat up trying to struggle to make the playoffs were still battered and beat up once the playoffs started. There's nothing like this. This has ever happened. And the whole, like, you know, regular season is completely wiped out in a 3-game tournament for the 4 best teams. And you know who else got screwed, Mike? Philly. Philly was the hottest team in hockey. They were, and Pittsburgh was, like, absolutely in the gutter those last 10 games, and they would have absolutely wiped the floor with them, and now Philly gets screwed. Philly gets screwed. So this whole thing is a joke, in my opinion, because they're not rewarding the teams that won the actual regular season. It's like we're doing March Madness with some crazy like seeding thing.
Mike, I don't get it. Philly still has a bye over Pittsburgh.
He's getting confused.
Well, who's confused, me?
Yeah, this is what you're getting confused about, Mike, when you say that in the past when there's been a work stop and you don't get 3 months to heal. That's not the part that's negotiated. That's the reality of the pandemic. Everybody has to deal with that.
Hold on, let me talk. Okay.
The only part to be pissed about is that if you think the structure somehow penalizes the Bruins post-pandemic, okay, the pandemic realities are there for everybody. There's nothing that punishes the Bruins as a result of the pandemic that doesn't punish anybody else equally or benefit them equally. Okay, the Bruins could just as easily have had injured players who were going to heal. If Kevin Miller came back, that would have been a good thing for them too. The structure, if you want to bitch about the structure, you know, and say that the team that's not, they're not being rewarded because they were the number one seed, that is still to be determined. They could still be the number one seed.
Yeah, and you know what, Tony, if the playoffs started at the end of the regular season, the Bruins had a 10-point lead with 10 games left. You don't think they would have had 3 or 4 games that they wouldn't have to play, got to set up their team nice, and then got to see what dregs came from the other conference to play them in the first round.
I just think Mike's gone off the deep end with this tinfoil hat InfoWars conspiracy crap. Just going off the deep end. It's hockey, Mike. You know how random it is. It's so random. The asterisks come if the Chicago Blackhawks or Montreal Canadiens, two teams that had no shot of making the playoffs, had only had the slightest statistical chance of making it, but practically speaking, we're going to be nowhere near the tournament. If somehow Carey Price or Corey Crawford or Taves and Kane, they get hot and they go on a run, they win a championship, then you can look back and say, well, that was ridiculous. Other than that, the bubble teams might have made the playoffs. They might not have. Who you draw, when you draw them, you've watched this your whole life. Does it really matter whether you face Tampa in the second or the third round?
The virus was released by the globalists to take down the Boston Bruins.
I mean, come on, man. You've been at this long enough. The NBA, it's a little different. You take away home court from someone, that's a real difference. You have them face one team versus another, that's a real difference. You can talk to me in the NBA if they screw with it enough that you could say that that's completely unlike anything that would normally happen. In hockey, come on. It's a team that gets hot and plays the right way at the right time of year pretty much every year. And you know how that is, Mike. Take off the tinfoil hat, man. Come back to earth. Come back to reality, buddy. Feels like we're losing them by the day, right?
Oh, my gosh. Please, again, there were two different issues. The pandemic is one. Okay, that affects everybody. Then you can talk about the structure if you want. And the Bruins, listen, I'm not telling you it went perfectly for them. It didn't. They lost a lot of the benefit of the regular season. But if they go 2-1 in the round robin, in all likelihood, they're going to finish first, and the worst they will finish is second. Is that so bad?
No, I think it makes almost no difference. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so the return of sports, including baseball. Do you even want baseball back? What does the polling look like at this hour, Mass?
Okay, let me give you the latest numbers on the polling. Again, I have to click screens. Forgive me. 6,773 votes, 59.2% say they do not want baseball to come back and play in 2020.
Staggering. Maz's Twitter followers, our Twitter followers on the Felger and Maz Twitter page, sports fans for Maz, you know, over 100,000 Red Sox fans on there, almost 60% say they don't even want the sport to come back.
I'd like
I mean,
to
this
see...
thing started at 53.5%. It's gone up almost 6% since we, you know, we first revealed the numbers. So, you know, again, in the last 5,000 votes, I think we can safely assume that somewhere around, like, you know, 60 to 65% of people are saying they don't want the sport back.
I mean, I'd like to see that 6, but I'll just round off. So that's 60%.
It's close, Murray. Yeah. We're getting there. Or you're close enough anyway. So I guess this was last night or the night before, Bryant Gumbel, his HBO show, had three of the union heads on his show that are still up in the air about returning. Hockey's coming back, okay? Hockey, we've already got a plan in place. NBA, MLB, and NFL, still to be determined. So he had on D. Smith for the NFL, Tony Clark of the MLBPA, and the gal from the national the NBA PA. Is it Michelle Smith? Do I have the name right? I'm sorry. I
the NBA PA. Somebody.
Yes, the NBA PA.
Yeah.
Michelle Roberts. Okay. He had those three on, and he asked a simple question: put odds on your league coming back. And there's a little grab ass at first, where Brian Gumbel asks D. Smith, and D. Smith defers to Tony Clark because he doesn't want to be the first one to answer it. So just put up with that little 5-10 seconds of grab ass. We'll stop and start as we go. But here's that clip. I want you to hear it.
Last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm absolutely certain, is there, your player's going to be playing before 2020 is done, D?
Tony?
yeah, I will tell you, I remain optimistic. I do. I know that's not a number, but I do remain optimistic. And as
give me
I
a number. Remember. 6, 7?
A 7 would be a C, 8 would be a B, 8.5 maybe a B plus. I am in the B plus range. I was an A minus B plus student, so I'll land there. But I'll tell you, it's really not that simple. Even today, got an update as to how we don't know everything we want to know and how things are continuing to change. But I do remain optimistic that we'll get back out there and play.
Okay. Can you give me a number?
So stop at 8.5. Tony Clark puts it at 8.5. What would you put it at, Mass?
Oh gosh, I would say at best it's a 5.
Yeah.
At best, I'd say right now it's less. I mean, 5's a 50-50, right? So right now I'd say in terms of my sentiment, it's less than that.
So I'll go 5.5. I mean, I still, if I, gun to my head, have to pick one, they're still going to return because there's just a lot of money on the table and it's going to happen. They're all going to make us hate them in the process more than we already do. But they'll come back. But that's just, narrowly. I'll give it a 5.5. You'll find it odd that I think that, so why would Tony Clark, with his players, hell no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to negotiate. And Max Scherzer saying we're not going to engage MLB. Scott Boras saying don't do it. Don't bail out the owners. Blake Snell saying hell no, I got to get mine. Charlie Blackman said hell yeah, I'm going to spit. Like, why, if his players are so militant and pessimistic, why is he being so optimistic at 8.5?
Well, because I think he's playing a PR game. Again, he's just sitting there saying, no, we want to play. Don't put this on us. We want to play. And ultimately, we believe we're going to get this thing settled. And he wants to make it, because again, he can really only speak from the player's point of view. So he's saying from the player's point of view, we believe this can get done. I mean, that's how I take it.
Yeah, so you know what? At least he's being smart there. At least, I would half expect the baseball player to say two, because they don't know, we're not negotiating. If you ask Blake Snell or these baseball players, they'd say two, but maybe Tony Clark got a little smart there just in that one clip. He doesn't want to be the one that says it's not going to happen. He wants to be the one that says it happens, and he wants to blame the owners. So go on. Now he does get to D. Smith.
Can you give me a number, Michelle? NBA?
No, I'll give you a 6. It was probably an 8 last week. I've gotten some recent concerns expressed by players now that babies, children have been infected. So heightened concerns have come into the conversation. So I'd say a 6.
All right. Okay, D, I'll give you the last word, the last note.
She says 6.
I mean, she's also the one that termed it incarceration for players being isolated, right? Like,
so
seems,
now that
seems a bit dramatic.
Now that babies have gotten infected? I mean, that does seem a little dramatic. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
What are we talking about there? Michelle?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong or what, but now that feels like, so what sort of, what are you layering onto this conversation now? Like, that feels a little much to me. You want to come back and play ball or not? Yeah, there's people suffering. The disease is serious, and we get it. Yeah, affects everybody, even kids. But not what you've like entered that into the discussion. Like, I don't get it. Like, what is it? That feels a little overdramatic to
me. And so, isn't it riskier for the families and the young children and babies to leave their houses and go join them in the bubble city of Orlando? So, what the hell are the players fighting for? That just feels contradictory to me too.
Well,
so.
I mean, good guy. I mean, these NBA players who are protected beyond most of what society is, never mind the fact they're going to have all the testing they needed, a closely monitored, you know, controlled environment. You know, you worried about the babies for that? How about the grocery store workers? You know, I mean, again, the delivery guys. What about their babies?
Like she's a pill. It was an 8 last week. Now it's a 6.
That sort of bugs me because of the babies. Okay. All right. Fine. Go ahead, Jimmy.
All right. D, I'll give you the last word, the last number.
Well, yeah, UVA law graded on a curve, so I'm going to go with a, you know, probably a 6-7. But, you know, look, a lot depends on what happens with the other sports. And to say that we aren't looking at what's going to be happening in basketball and baseball, and we're not looking at how they work through these things, I'd be lying to you if we're not. So how about if I go with 6-7 on a curve?
I like that. We'll let that be the last word.
Yeah, that's disappointing, too. I'm hearing this in real time. What I expect from anyone from the NFL, 10, we're coming back. We're pretending nothing's going on. It's business as usual. Because that's how the owners and the commissioner and the league is talking. I want to hear the same from the players.
D. Smith is so full of crap.
Right.
So full of crap. It has been proven since whatever year that was, 1987, 1991, what was the last player strike? When is the last time an NFL player has been willing to leave a game check on the table? It hasn't happened, I think, in 30 years. Something like this, since a NFL player has given up a game check. So you're telling me, D, and this is sort of the, you know, the implication here, that if we don't see the safety protocols here in these other leagues, and if they, you know, if everything's not right, you know, this ain't no guarantee. To which I say, oh, bull crap. Bull crap. Whether they have the hand sanitizer by the front door or not, your players are reporting and they're playing because they always do. You get paid the way the NFL structures it, you know, sort of forces them, you know, to do that because they're only paid 17 installments for the 17 weeks. When's the last time you gave up one of those 17 checks? It's been forever. And they aren't about to start now.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think some of those comments from the NBA and from the NFL to me are reflective of sort of where they are in the process. Like, all of a sudden, I was just looking it up again because I couldn't remember his name. The center of the Browns, J.C. Treader, who's the president of the Players Association. Again, Demora Smith, you know, is the legal side of it.
Right.
But Treader recently has said that he has concerns about the safety issues. Like, all of a sudden, all this stuff is coming out. So, like, it feels to me clearly they're starting to get in the negotiating stage of what are we going to do to make this work. And so they're leveraging a little bit. I think that's what's going on with the NBA and the NBA and the NFL, because they're actually in the midst of discussions about how they're going to make it work.
Exactly. Yeah,
baseball to me feels like the opposite. No, I'm optimistic, even though behind the scenes things are clearly nasty.
They're all full of crap. Every one of them gave a number to position where they really are. The NFL, they're coming back 100%. There is no shot those players are going to leave a game check on the floor because of what? Sanitation protocols? When these guys are, you know, risking concussions and all this, every week they step on the virus to them is small potatoes. I'm sorry. I mean, I can just feel that being their mindset. There is no way they're going to leave a game check on the table for that. They're coming back 100%. The NBA's on the doorstep, but they're probably negotiating some last-minute things. So she says 6 because the babies are now, you know, in danger or something. Meanwhile, baseball's about to blow up. Baseball's about to blow itself up, and Tony Clark doesn't want to be blamed for it. So he says 8.5. Yeah, I'm optimistic. They're all three of them are full of crap. But
feels that way. Yeah, it does. Like, they're all posturing again. The public comments to me are always, you know, they're covered with some sort of bull crap, whether it's positive or negative.
So let's use that as an entree just to hit on a few quick football things right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.